Now, the believer's love for God is greater than his love for this world. The Lord teaches us that. The Lord gives his people that love for our God and Savior. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John 2:15, he said, "If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." We have to be taught that. We have to be given life and the Spirit of God and led of God to love our God, because men prove every day their love for the world and their enmity for God. And so we, brethren, are saved from our sin, and we're saved from ourselves. We're delivered from that enmity. The body of sin, the whole of it, has been destroyed in us by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need that grace of God, otherwise we'd have no love for God. Our Savior brings it even closer to home for us when he said in Matthew 10:37, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And in that context, he's speaking of the divisions and the enmity that arises in the household for Christ's sake and the gospel's sake. And that's what he's speaking of there. And he's saying, you that are called to me, you that are mine, you're going to side with me, even at the expense of your family who hates me and hates the gospel. But today, we're going to look at the temptation of Abraham to sacrifice his loved child, Isaac. We're going to look at that in Genesis 22. It wasn't that Isaac was a rebellious son and therefore to be put to death. It wasn't anything like that. Isaac was a good boy as far as children go. He was obedient to his father, and he understood and knew the sacrifices of the Lord. He was well taught and well trained. But this is about the temptation of Abraham to sacrifice his son because God told him to. God told him to. Now, this was not a temptation of Abraham to sin. This was not about sin. God does not tempt any man to sin. This was not about tempting him to sin, but rather it was proving the faith of Abraham and proving the love of Abraham for his God. The Apostle Peter speaks of such proving of the believer, saying that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found. That your faith be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And that's what the Lord is doing here. It was a strong trial, but the Lord had given this man strong faith for the trial. And so when we're looking at this, this is not, no one should ever feel that they're being asked of the Lord to sacrifice their child in this manner. That's not something that happens. What the Lord is giving us here is a picture. This is a type, a beautiful type of the love of our Heavenly Father in not sparing his son, in sacrificing his own son for the life of his people. That Christ was not delivered that we would be delivered. Christ's life was laid down that we would be given life and have life in him. And so this is a type of our Father fulfilling his promise to his people to give us life and salvation through the promised seed, which is Christ. Now, the steps and words that we see here of Isaac, as we look at this, we'll go through most of the verses in chapter 22. And what we see here is, in this picture, it's tracing out for us what our Savior did and what he bore for his people in laying down his life. It's to put our eyes upon Christ. It's to put give us an understanding of the gospel so that when we see Christ When we see what he did, we say, wait a minute, I know that. I've seen that before. The scriptures spoke of the Lamb of God. The scriptures speak of Christ. And this is him fulfilling it according to the scriptures, that we might know him. And we, now knowing him, look back and stand amazed that, wow, Abraham did see Christ's day. Abraham did see what the Father was showing him in these things. That's why it's recorded here. That's why it remained with Abraham and why that was handed down to Isaac and Jacob and all the patriarchs for us in these scriptures here, written and recorded by Moses, by the Spirit. And so we see the willingness of our Savior to sacrifice himself to the Father to save his people. And so another thing we see is that every believer walks in the steps of Abraham, being made faithful. We are children of faith, being children of promise, and born again by the grace of God. And so we come believing God. We see Christ our Savior and what he did, and we believe him. We believe him who died and rose again. So I've titled this, The Sacrifice of Isaac. Now, let's begin with verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Right? He's proving the faith that he wrought in Abraham. God's proving that faith. And said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. Here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. And get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, we're not told how Abraham felt about this. The scriptures don't record what Abraham was thinking or what he felt. We know when Sarah, a picture of the covenant of grace, said to Abraham, Cast out the bondwoman and her son. We're told that it grieved Abraham, that Sarah's request grieved Abraham until the Lord said, Hearken unto her voice. Do what she's asked you to do. Cast out the woman and the bondwoman and her son. And the next morning, bam, he wakes up, gets the bread and the water, lays it on her shoulder and send her out the door, casting her out. A picture of the casting out of vain religion, of dead works religion, which we're taught by the covenant of grace. Covenant of grace. And the Lord affirms it, saying, What you're hearing, trusting me, believing me, that's the truth. You don't need works. Works will not save you. Your works under law don't save you. My grace saves you. And so we saw how it grieved him about Ishmael, but until the Lord told him. And now here the Lord says to him, Your son, your only son, whom you love, take him and sacrifice him. Sacrifice him. And just as he hastened to do what he was told about Ishmael, he rises up and does what he hastens to do, what he hears the Lord tell him to do that night. And so in the morning, verse 3 and 4, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Now, these early verses here, we see a cadence of purpose. That we see in this providence that there is a step, there is a purpose of grace that's seen in this. There's an execution of it. This is being implemented and put into place, and nothing is getting in the way. So that without delay, when Abraham understood what God had told him to do, he got right on it, and he did it. He did it. Because things do have a way of souring when they just sit on our mind, and they toy in our mind, and we roll them around for too long. We change our mind about things. But Abraham was very quick to do what the Lord had told him to do. And it pictures for us God's will and purpose in sending his only begotten son, the son whom he loves. And he spared him not, but delivered him up for us all. God the Father did this for us in Christ. And so we see here in these verses an echo of God's purpose in sending His darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Our Lord, when He was here in the flesh, said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." He said, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." He wasn't careless or slow in anything that He did. Everything was with purpose. He tells us in the parable, "Tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage." And so in this we see the Father ordering all things, taking care to have everything that was necessary for this sacrifice and putting it into motion and bringing it to pass. And so our God has chosen a people in Christ before the foundation of the world and in the fullness of time. Christ was born of a woman, born under the law, to obtain righteousness for His people, to sacrifice Himself for His people, that we should have life and liberty and light in Christ Jesus. Our Lord said to the Jews in John 5, verse 30, "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." And so we're told here now in verse 4 that it was on the third day that Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. You can imagine for 3 days as they went, as a father, you can imagine for 3 days that he walked with his son, knowing that his son was going to be sacrificed. And he could say nothing to no one about it. He said nothing to anyone about what he was commanded to do with Isaac for 3 days. Hebrews tells us what only faith can see and only faith can understand about this. Hebrews 11:17-19. "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." Right? Being commanded of God to sacrifice him and then being delivered, he did receive him from the dead. He was raised up again and delivered into his arms from the dead. And in this we see the sweet conclusion of Christ's death, because he rose again after 3 days. He rose again, bringing life and salvation, and every spiritual blessing is taken up by him and given to his people. And it's given to us in Christ. For 3 days, his dead body lay in the grave. And after 3 days, he was raised again. God the Father was silent for 3 days, and his disciples were troubled and perplexed. We thought that he was the one, that he was the Messiah that was promised to come, but they put him to death. We don't understand it. Well, after 3 days of silence, 3 days of darkness, Christ rose from the dead and came back to his disciples and showed himself to them. And then there was great joy and rejoicing and gladness. Now, the sacrifice of Isaac, it gives us many pictures of Christ at the time when he was sacrificed. And so there's many examples here. There's many examples here in this proving of Abraham's faith regarding the sacrifice of his son. This is given to show us that this is speaking of Christ. That these things which are recorded for us concerning Isaac and this sacrifice, we see the Lord Jesus Christ in his sacrifice for the church. So we're going to see a few of these things now. Look at verse 5, Genesis 22:5. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now, this brings us back to that night in the Garden of Gethsemane when the disciples were with Christ and the Sanhedrin came. And those men, they came to arrest Christ. And they said they were seeking for Jesus of Nazareth. And our Lord said to them, If ye therefore seek me, if you're looking for me, let these go. And our Lord delivered his disciples. Not one was taken. None of them was arrested. None of them was hurt. None of them was killed in the process. They all went free. And after a little, what happened, actually, the next thing that happened was Peter, he drew a sword and he cut off a man's ear. And he tried to deliver his Lord from the hands of these wicked men. But that wouldn't have led to our redemption. If Christ was not crucified, if Christ was delivered, we'd still be in our sins. And so the Lord separated himself from the disciples and went alone to this work because only he can do the work. And the disciples couldn't be around because they might try to prevent that and deliver it and then be hurt in the process themselves or killed by a Roman guard if they came up there and tried to remove him. And so the Lord did it himself because we can't help him anyway. There's nothing we can do in laying down our lives for the lives of ourselves or others. So Christ must do that work alone. And so we see that where Abraham tells the young men, you stay here. And I and my son, the lad, we're going to go and we're going to do this. And that's what our God did by himself without our input and without our help. And so our Lord did this work of salvation alone to atone for the sins of the people, to obtain our eternal redemption. And everything we need, Christ has obtained it and given it freely to his people in grace. In grace. Now, in verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And so symbolically here, this is seen with our Lord. Right? They laid the cross, the wood of the cross, on our Savior to carry to Golgotha, where he was crucified. John 19:17, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. And so our Lord bore the wood of the cross. Well, here's Isaac, and he's bearing the wood upon which he's going to be sacrificed. He's bearing the wood there. And what it pictures for us is our burden was laid on Christ. That's what we're really looking at here, is that Christ bore the burden. He bore the sins of his people, and he went and sacrificed himself, made an offering of himself to the Father to atone for my sins and your sins. You that believe him this day, he bore your sins and put them away forever. He put them away by the death of himself. He bore that burden to deliver us from our just and rightful death, what we earned, the judgment we earned. Christ paid the price for his people. Turn over to Isaiah 53, and let's see the words that the Spirit gave the prophet concerning our salvation in Christ. Isaiah 53, and we're just going to read verses 4 through 6. And notice who is bearing the burden in these verses. Who's bearing this burden? Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs. Christ has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so we see Christ bearing that sin burden as the sin bearer, as the surety of his people, and he sacrificed himself to the Father to atone for the sins of his people. All the sins that he bore, he put away in the death of himself. Next, in Genesis 22, verses 7 and 8, Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now, when we see this here, we hear these same words by the Son of God, our Savior, when he prayed to the Father. When he was in the garden, what did he say? My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. I want your will to be done. So just as we see Abraham there, my father, where's the lamb? And then we see Christ say, my father, let this cup pass from me if it be possible. Otherwise, I'll do it. I'll go to the cross as the sin bearer of my people and put that sin away from them forever. And so to pay the debt of our sins, Christ willingly sacrificed himself to the Father, bearing the sins of his people to satisfy the justice of God and to deliver us who believe him and hope in him and have no righteousness of our own, who are needy sinners, who need his salvation. He put that sin away forever. He paid the debt, satisfied the justice of God, and let us go free in his grace. And he now gives us light, life, and liberty in himself. And so our God must provide himself the lamb. And he did that in Christ, through the God-man mediator. He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That is, his people scattered throughout the world. There's one Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, for Christ's sake, our God commands, deliver him. Right? I found a ransom. Take my child, my children, take my people, my bride, and deliver them from the pit. Lift them up and take them out because I found a ransom. And that's what Christ did. He is the ransom to deliver his people. Now, the Lord stopped Abraham from sacrificing his son Isaac. God confirmed in verse 12 saying, Thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. In verse 13, And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. That ram is Christ. That ram pictures the Lord Jesus Christ, who in our stead was sacrificed for his people. Right? Isaac didn't die. Isaac went free. That ram died in Isaac's place. And that's what Christ did. He was not spared. He didn't go free. He went willingly to the cross, laying down his life, and all his people go free in Christ. And all his people are delivered from eternal death and the eternal punishment of God and go free, having life and light in the Lord Jesus Christ now. He sacrificed himself. And Abraham, verse 14, called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And what it's saying there is, in Christ, when he opens our eyes and he makes us to see him and what he's done, we see the provision of God. Jehovah provides. Jehovah shall provide. He provided abundantly, fully, everything needed in Christ. In Christ. He is Jehovah Jireh. And we see the provision of the Lord. And then our Lord confirmed Abraham with an oath. Right? He had all this time spoken to Abraham the promises of what he would do in blessing all the nations of the earth in his seed. And now God swears by it. He swears to Abraham with an oath, saying, I'm going to do this. Everything I promised you, I shall bring it to pass in your seed, which seed is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in Christ. Because our God, God the Father, did not spare his Son. He did not spare him, but delivered him up for us all. Now, verse 17 and 18, that in blessing, I will bless thee. This is what our Lord promised. This is what he swore. In blessing, I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And so all for whom Christ died and gave his life, they live. They shall live. He's going to seek them out and find them and call them by his grace, giving them his spirit, giving them his life. So that we are brought into the knowledge of these things and given an understanding of what Christ has done for me, the sinner, to give me life in himself. And he says there, we'll possess the gate of his enemies. That is, all our enemies have been defeated by Christ. Satan, who accuses us, his mouth is shut. Sin is, we're delivered from its dominion. The grave, it cannot hold us. We shall be raised from the dead in Christ. Even our spiritual death can't hold us. We are given a new birth by the Spirit of God in Christ. All our enemies are defeated. And in thy seed, and that seed is Christ, singular, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. What a glorious picture of our salvation by the faithful Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who willingly made himself the sacrifice, the Lamb of God, to take the place of his people, to let us go free. Great in grace, and by his power. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. All who believe him are the children of Abraham. All who believe him are the children of faith. They are the children of promise. And we see the result of Christ's obedience here and his obedience unto death. We see our resurrection and the promise of life. Look at verse 19. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. It's a picture. Our Lord comes and he raises us up in life now and in the life to come hereafter, when he raises us from the grave and we go with him forever. And then immediately following, it gets into the lineage of Nahor and the sons that he bore, I think by Milcah. And what do we see? Our eyes immediately then turned to the bride of Isaac. Right? It's pictured for us in Rebekah. Look at verse 23. And Bethuel, that's one of the sons of Nahor and Milcah, begat Rebekah, and she became the wife of Isaac, right? And so Isaac picturing Christ, Rebecca picturing the bride of Christ, the church. And so when our Lord's atonement was made, when that work was done, he now shows himself to his disciples after the resurrection, and immediately the work is turned to calling the bride, saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt have everlasting life in him. And so that's the sweet picture there that we see in the sacrifice of Isaac, brethren. I pray the Lord bless that word to your hearts and encourage you and give you laughter. That's what Isaac means, laughter. Great joy and laughter in him. Amen.